Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 11, verses 18 to 21. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 18 to 21. And today we're going to be studying about one subject, a sure reward. A sure reward. And the sure reward that we're going to be studying today is a sure reward that is granted to the righteous. Let's read the passage. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 18. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Now, in each of these verses, you see righteousness or righteous mentioned. For instance, in verse 18, he that soweth, or to him that soweth righteousness, shall be a sure reward. And then verse 19, righteousness tendeth to life. And then verse 20, such as are upright in their way are his delight. Verse 21, the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Now, sowing righteousness brings a guaranteed reward, and it's a reward that the wicked cannot claim. Notice in the same verses, the wicked worketh a deceitful work. And then notice in verse 19, he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. And verse 20, they that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord. And verse 21, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. So there's a real contrast in these verses that we want to study today. And that contrast is such that we see a necessity in our lives, practically speaking and spiritually speaking, to sow righteousness, to live in a right relationship with the Lord. All right, following the context that we have here and the way the verses appear, notice these things. First of all, sowing righteousness brings life. Verse 19 says this, as righteousness tendeth to life. As righteousness tendeth to life. Now, before we finish this broadcast, we will actually talk about life everlasting. That is, how to have everlasting life in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. But when he says here in verse 19, as righteousness tendeth to life, we're speaking about something now that is temporal. That is, the life that you and I enjoy here on the earth. For instance, look in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. In other words, people say, well, there's an appointed time for you to die. And thou think that's right. The Bible even speaks of those kinds of things. David said that a man's life would be 70 years, and if by reason of strength there be 80 years, yet are the days labor and sorrow. And you know people that have lived to be in their 90s, and some even in their hundreds. But generally speaking, by the time that men get up into that age range there, 80, 90, 100, they die. All right, in your specific case, your life can be lengthened by fearing the Lord. Your life can be shortened by wickedness. And so when he says that you sow righteousness, and when you do, you'll be given a sure reward, one of the rewards for a righteous living is a long life. In other words, if you trash your life with things that are contrary to God's desires for you, and you lose your life early, you know something? God's people are going to recognize that your life was cut short because of your wicked living, and even people who are not Christians are going to recognize that. For instance, when somebody is a chain smoker and their life ends in their 60s, let's say, and they die of lung cancer, well, no matter whether people are saved or lost, they generally say, or at least think, this person could have lived longer if they'd taken better care of themselves. And so if it's right not to smoke in order to prolong your life so that you can be here to enjoy the life that's given and also to take care of your children and grandchildren, then living a life that, or sowing righteousness will yield a sure reward. That reward is longer life. In other words, you can actually affect the timing of your demise to some degree. I talked to a man, I think I've told you this before, who lived up into his 90s. I asked him one time when he was in his 80s, I said, "What's the secret to your long life?" He said, "I've always done what my mom and daddy told me to do." Well, I don't know if he did or not, but that's what he said. And he knew the verse. In the Bible, when you honor your father and your mother, there is a promise associated with that, that your days may be long in the earth. And that's the first commandment that was given with promise. So, evidently, you can affect the length of your days. Sow in righteousness and live longer. For instance, another verse that we find in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, that deals with the same thing. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says, "There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, comma, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." In other words, the verse 1 in Romans chapter 8 does not end after Christ Jesus. It doesn't say there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Certainly as it concerns heaven and hell, there's no condemnation. But in this verse and in some of the context, it's not just talking about eternal life. It's talking also about your life here in the earth. In other words, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you walk after the flesh as a Christian, your life is going to get cut short. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, where a young man was committing adultery with his father's wife, or fornicating with his father's wife. It was a terrible sin. And Paul said, "I'm going to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh." In other words, Paul sicked the devil on him to destroy his flesh. And if that guy had not turned, he'd have died. As it turns out, he couldn't take it, and he turned, which was the right response. And in his repentance, he was received back into the congregation. You can read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and 2 Corinthians chapter 7. All right? But that man could have found himself in the condemnation of the devil, or a condemnation of sowing to the flesh, and had his life cut way short. There are diseases, and they run rampant in certain countries. For instance, diseases like AIDS, and the average lifespan of a man in countries where those diseases run rampant is much shorter than the average lifespan of a man here. And it's not just a matter of not having enough education, or not just a matter of not having enough medical aid and money. It's a matter of living a life that is not right. And when a man sows in righteousness, he's going to reap a sure reward. And one of those rewards is longer life. Another reward is delight. Delight. Look in verse 20. "They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight." Now, that's finding favor with the Lord. And the wicked cannot find favor with the Lord because the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. They that are a froward heart are abomination to the Lord. So here, this is finding yourself in a position where you're in the Lord's delight. And let me tell you something, if you can get there, and you can by sowing righteousness, that's a wonderful place to be. You know, so often in our age, I hear about this. I'm sure this was true in many generations, but it's prevalent in our generation because this is the generation in which we live, and this is the generation in which we talk of such matters. There are people who have grown up, and they grew up with parents who had high expectations on them, and then they, as children, sought to achieve those high expectations and sought to please their parents. And many times this caused them problems. because they found themselves in a situation where whatever they did, they never seemed to be good enough. Well, likewise, we can please the Lord and find ourselves in His delight and find ourselves in His favor. And let me tell you, as powerful as God is and as wonderful as the Lord is and the way that He supplies, you want to live in the favor of the Lord. You really do. Jesus Christ grew in favor with God, and we want to grow in favor with God and being like Him. When you have favor with God, I'm telling you, your prayer life is easier because you're not constantly having to confess things that have gone wrong. When you're in favor with God, you recognize when circumstances work out in your life favorably that God's hand is in those circumstances. They're providential. Also, when you're in favor with God and things don't work out circumstantially, you are living in an abundance of grace that allows you to go through those things and see a side that other people cannot see. You live a life void of bitterness, and you live a life that's void of confusion when you're in the favor of the Lord and in the delight of the Lord. And there's a sure reward in sowing righteousness. If you sow righteousness, you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are doing something that pleases God. Jesus Christ was able to say, I do always those things that please Him. And, you say, what a testimony. It is a testimony. What it meant was He knew what was right and He did that. And I've found something in talking with people, I have found in talking with people that most people know exactly what is right to do. They really do. The hard thing that they have is doing the right thing. The second hard thing they have to do is doing the wrong thing and trying to find a way to get away with it or excusing it in such a way that everybody else thinks they were justified in doing the wrong thing. Those are the complicated parts of life. Doing right or doing wrong and trying to get away with it. That's what's complicated. But knowing what's right, that's not complicated. There are many people today that are not saved that know it is right to be saved by trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior. They just haven't done it. There are a lot of people who drink excessively, and they know what they're doing is wrong, and they know it's right not to do that, and they know that they ought not to do those things, but to actually do that is just it's a lot more difficult than it is to say. So sowing righteousness brings delight. Sowing righteousness brings life. Sowing righteousness also brings deliverance in verse 21. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Now you say, in what respect? Well, you got to remember when we're in Proverbs that we're still in the Old Testament, you know? And in the Old Testament, things are a little bit different there than they are in the New Testament. For instance, except for Job, nobody would have gone through the same stuff in the Old Testament that Paul went through in the New Testament if he were a right man living in right relationship with the Lord God. For instance, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they're all the children of God. And the 12 tribes, those were God's chosen people. Now, they went through bad things whenever they did bad things. And other than that, they were blessed excessively and exceedingly when they were doing right. Well, now you take Paul in the New Testament. Paul, he did the right things, and yet he was beaten, and he was stoned, and he was imprisoned, and he was shipwrecked, and he was hungry, and he was naked, and he went through perils with his own countrymen and perils with enemies and lots of problems. Now, if you look at Paul and all the trouble that he went through, you'd say, man, God's really, you know, trying to beat this guy into subjection to make him do something he obviously doesn't want to do. But that wasn't the case at all. Paul went through those things because Paul was given revelations of God. And in going through those things, Paul actually learned to delight in them because of the abundance of the grace of God that was on him when he went through them. He found a strength there that was impossible to find as a physical human being without those afflictions and without that much of the grace of God. It's just a paradox. In the Old Testament, a man wouldn't be treated like that. And I say all that to say this. You may be a child of God that's lived in a really good relationship with Him, and you have found yourself in multiple causes of problems. Well, sometimes those are of your own doing, and sometimes they're not. And you've prayed, and you've said, Lord, deliver us from evil, like the Lord's Prayer says. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And you find one bad thing after another. Well, seriously, when God told Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ told his disciples how to pray, you're still in an Old Testament context. Jesus Christ was led into temptation by the Spirit of God, but that was the Lord's doing, see? And so these things about deliverance can be very difficult. But you know something, for the most part, when you are living in a right relationship with the Lord and you are sowing righteousness, you are going to naturally be delivered from a lot of evil that plagues other people. For instance, you're going to be delivered from fist fights resulting from an argument at a bar because you're not going to be hanging out there. You are going to be delivered from jail. Why? Because you're not doing anything that would cause the cops to throw you in jail. You say, well, Christians get thrown into jail sometimes for their faith. Yeah, but we're not in that situation right now. All right? You'll be delivered from a lot of illnesses, not totally, but a lot of them, because you're not going to be subjecting your body to things that are going to compromise your immune system and cause you to be weakened against certain problems. For instance, you're not going to be ever subject to sexually transmitted diseases. You're going to be delivered from all of those things. Why? Because you're not going to be fornicating. You see, there is a sure reward in sowing righteousness, and there is a sure deliverance. Like I said, you may find yourself in some situations where you think you should have been delivered from them, like Paul did, but if you keep searching around in there for the grace of God, you'll find those things. But a lot of the problems you are definitely going to be delivered from. Fights and jail and diseases and numerous other things. You're not going to find yourself, generally speaking, in bankruptcy. Why? Because by sowing righteousness, you're not going to let yourself get into debt over your head, and you're not going to allow yourself to make compromising decisions in your business and things like that. That's not to say that there aren't some men that have faithfully served the Lord that didn't find themselves in a difficult situation like that sometimes, but generally speaking, you're not going to have problems like that. You're going to be delivered from those things. And I'll tell you what, you're going to be delivered if you had a sinful life before you got saved. You're going to find the Lord delivering you from some of those sins. Now, that doesn't always happen, but I've seen people that have gotten delivered from alcohol and delivered from nicotine and delivered from drugs. There are other men that kind of had to battle with it a little bit harder, but I'll tell you what, the grace of God was good always. And when the men set the drugs down or set the bottles down or set the pack of cigarettes down, God's grace was there and gave them the strength to get through that stuff. And they're not smoking, they're not drinking, and they're not doping anymore. And the wicked cannot claim these verses, no matter how many of them band together to get out of the trouble they're in. He said here in verse 21, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. To give you an example, though that mob banded together to crucify Jesus Christ, and you know what? In their banding together, they could not stop the consequences of their sin, and they were ransacked by Titus in 70 AD. Now you look over here in Jeremiah chapter 37. The Jews felt like they had strength in numbers, and there were lots and lots of Jews that were not serving the Lord God in righteousness. And so they got the idea they could join themselves together and fight off any enemy like the Chaldeans. And the Lord told them, said, doesn't make any difference how many of you think you're going to stand against the Chaldeans. It doesn't make any difference how weak they get. You're not going to be able to stop the trouble. In Jeremiah chapter 37, verse 9, thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though you had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remained but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up every man in his tent and burn this city with fire. God said, I don't care if the whole group of you thinks that you can whoop the Chaldeans, and if they're beat down to nothing but wounded men, they're going to destroy this city. Why? Because the Jews were not sowing in righteousness, they were sowing in wickedness. All right, now there's a sure reward for sowing righteousness. Life, I'm talking about down here on the earth. Delight, favor with the Lord, and deliverance. But there's also three other things. The fourth thing is peace. There's peace. Look in James chapter 3, verse 18. James chapter 3, verse 18. All right, in James chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says this. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, you know something you're going to need in life? You're going to need peace. Several times last week, I had the opportunity to pray with folks, members of the church that have called who are going through difficult things, medical things and stuff like that, and they called and we prayed on the telephone together. And you know what we prayed for? Among other things, that God would give them peace, that the Holy Spirit was actually in control of the situation, that since we'd been praying, and that God would deal with the situation properly, in His will, in His timing, in His way, in answer to the prayers. The Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, that which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know something? And they were given a peace that passeth all understanding. You're not going to have a peace like that if you're not sowing righteousness. You're going to be looking over your shoulder wondering if God's fixing to knock you down. You're going to be looking over your shoulder figuring somebody else is out to get you. We used to have a guy that was coming to church around here, and he'd come every so often. He was driving in from out of town. He and I went to lunch one day, and he said, I have a hard time coming around here. I said, why is that? He said, I'm always having to look over my shoulder. I did a lot of bad things here when I was younger. And I'm always afraid somebody's going to come after me to retaliate. You know why he didn't have peace about being here? He didn't have peace about being here because he hadn't been sowing in righteousness. If you sow in righteousness, you don't have to worry about those things. You see, they're very practical. You can, when you've been sowing in righteousness, you don't have to worry about approaching God's throne with a guilty conscience. Many have done it before. They'll call, and they're in a medical dire strait, and they'll call and want to pray, and we'll get to praying, and the first thing they want to do is start confessing how they haven't lived right with God. You know what? They're not at peace. Their conscience is troubling them. There's a sure reward for sowing righteousness, and the next one is mercy. Mercy. Look in Hosea 10:12. Mercy. All right, in Hosea 10:12, the Bible says this. I'll flip over here for you. The Bible says this. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Mercy from God. Now, in the Old Testament, this was particularly true. When a man in the Old Testament began to live right, God would extend him mercy. Here, God will extend you mercy, we'll see in just a minute, for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But in the Old Testament, when a man would turn to righteousness, God would extend him mercy. I'm going to read something to you from the Bible. If the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. You know what that is? That's a wicked man that turns from his sins and then starts doing right, keeping the statutes of God and doing the things that are lawful and right. You know what he gets? He gets life. He doesn't die for it. Now, in a practical sense, that's Old Testament, and you don't get mercy from God for eternal life by just keeping the law, turning a new leaf, and, you know, confessing your sins. But in life, there are practical applications of this, and I'll give you an example. Take, for example, a prisoner that gets out of prison early for good time. You know what happens? He starts living right inside of his prison, and he's recognized for living that way by his guards and by the unit commanders and by the parole board and by everybody else that has to make the decision, and they let him out for good time. Early. Why? He got mercy for living right. That's a practical thing. You're going to get mercy when you're trying to do the right thing. Sometimes it doesn't always work out, but when you're trying to do the right thing, a lot of times people will take that into consideration, and they'll be lenient with you. All right, and then finally, there's a sure reward for sowing righteousness, and that sure reward is life everlasting. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 are some of the most profound verses in the Bible. They are verses that show you a doctrine that is absolutely true. It's the doctrine of sowing and reaping. You sowed something and you're going to reap it. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." It's a law, just like gravity. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." All right, now that's a sure thing. If you live wickedly, you're going to reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, and you of the Spirit shall receive life everlasting. Now remember, your salvation in the New Testament is not based upon your righteousness. It's based upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." there is mercy and there is life everlasting in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You see, in our lives, our righteousnesses are not enough to meet the standard of God. It doesn't make any difference how well you live from here out and how well you've lived in the past. Your righteousness is not enough to compare equally with Jesus Christ. And it must in order for you to pass the judgment. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. And when God judges you, he's going to judge you against the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not against your righteousness or the righteousness of anybody else. Okay? And in order for you to have the righteousness that will compare with Jesus Christ, you must have Jesus Christ's righteousness. And God will give that to you when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he'll give you his own righteousness to allow you to be equal with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And with that righteousness comes life everlasting. Now you can have that if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I didn't preach a lot of gospel to you today, but this may be some time, maybe the Holy Spirit's really working on you and you realize you need to get saved. You know what you ought to do after this broadcast? You ought to call us here at the church. I'm going to give you the number in a minute and ask us to show you how to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and we'll just open the Bible and show you so you can be saved. Now, let's do a quick summary. If you sow in righteousness, you're guaranteed a reward. First of all, you're guaranteed a better and longer life here. Unless in God's divine wisdom, your life is taken short for his glory. But for the most part, you can count on it. If you're driving the speed limits and avoiding fights and avoiding bars and that kind of stuff, you're going to live longer. You're going to be in the delight of the Lord. You're going to also experience deliverance from evil things and from various sins because you're not going to be getting into that stuff. You're going to also have peace that is accompanied by a good conscience. You're going to have mercy because God's going to recognize your desire to do right. And when you receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you'll have life everlasting. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It is right to live right. And it is beneficial to live right. So, live right.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.